So you can't separate the blood and the body. We talked about why people are sick and where sickness came from and how it is always, not sometimes, but always God's will to heal. We didn't just say it. I proved it to you by the word of God. Now, we know that the Bible is true. The Bible's not true because man says so. There are many people that are out there philosophically saying that Jesus wasn't even a real person, which mainly shows that they're historically numb. Because to truly study Christ Jesus, there's a true conclusion that has to come to fruition, and that is, and many people have tried to disprove Christ, have tried to prove that he is not the Messiah, and actually have had to convert and become born-again Christians, because historically, archaeologically, prophetically, in all other essence, the only thing you can do is, if you actually study Christ, is you come to the conclusion that he truly was Lord, he truly was Savior, and that literally, not figuratively, prophetically and proven through historical value, that Christ rose from the dead on the third day. And that is by Eusebius and Eusebius, which are both Jewish historians that were not born again, that validated the visual sight of Christ after his death and therefore being resurrected. Now, many people believe, and I'm just going to go through this real quickly, many people believe different theories of why Christ did not raise from the dead. My favorite one is called the hallucination theory, which is taught in many colleges. The hallucination theory declares that when Jesus was seen by over 500 people face to face in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is very interesting to me because they do not denounce the fact that 500 people saw him face to face being eyewitnesses. They say that the only what was actually happening, that he didn't raise from the dead, but that Christ actually, all those people were on the same mushroom and they were all stoned seeing the same hallucination. That's the hallucination theory. The other one is called the swoon theory. Everybody ever heard of the swoon theory? Swoon theory is very exciting. And that is that Jesus Christ was beaten, and this is just a historical fact. He was beaten to where you could actually see his bowels from the exterior. He had his beard ripped out of his face. His face was punched out by 50 Roman guards. He was then tortured as he was hung on the cross. They were 5 to 7 inch spikes that were driven through his hands and through his ankles. And he asphyxiated. The only way to live was to push yourself up and exhale, or you could not get the breath out of your lungs, therefore dying. So the swoon theory, and by the way, he was stabbed in his side and blood and water came mixed coming out, which means the pericardium, which holds, I think it's 300 cc of fluid came draining out, which means he was dead. That really he didn't die. What happened after they embalmed him? They did 100 pounds of spices. They wrapped him from the feet up to the armpits, arms down to the side, from the arms to the neck, and then wrapped his head separately. But you see, when they put him in the gravestone, and even though there were Roman guards around, that if they lost the one that they were guarding, that they would literally be burned alive with their families. Four slept at all times. The rest remained awake. That what happened was Jesus didn't die on the cross, and when he was in the tomb, he came awake. He had passed out. He swooned. And somehow, like his little MacGyver knife, he cut through all the embalming and then climbed out and rolled back a 2.5-ton stone uphill and snuck past the Roman guards. That's called the swoon theory. That is the one that's most believed, strangely enough. They'll do everything to disprove the resurrection of Christ, because even as Paul said, if there was no resurrection, then the gospel is in vain and it is foolishness.
Is there any validity that to the Shroud of Turin?
That is very debated. They say nay. And the reason they say no is mainly because of how the wrappings were actually done. The wrappings were done according to Jewish custom. Jewish custom, when you had the dead person, they were considered unclean. So they put them on a slab with head aiming down. They would have to wash them with warm water, making sure that no blood touched them, because then they themselves would be unclean. And then they would wrap them with the aloe and myrrh mixture of embalming in the process I explained to you. And then they would put them in. So it was a very organized process to keep a person from being unclean. Remember, if a person was unclean, they could not enter the temple. They'd have to stay outside of the temple or be even away from people for 7 days, and they would have to perform some sacrifices to make themselves pure again. So, I mean, really, it takes a lot of faith not to believe in the resurrection of Christ. It takes a lot of faith not to believe in the Word of God. It actually takes more faith. The problem is that most people haven't been taught. All of that to say, I actually proved to you through the scripture that it is part of the covenant right of every single believer that Jesus came to heal your body. Not sometimes, not once in a while, not if you hit it lucky. Yahoo! But that Jesus came to heal you all times. Not sometimes, but all times. The Bible says in Psalms 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgive all of our sin and heals some of our diseases." Oh, I'm sorry. The word all. That's right. Heals how many diseases? All of them. Now, when Christ came on the earth, the one thing that you'll find for sure is that Jesus healed only a few people because some of them were just too hard of cases, and he sent them away and told them that he hoped that they felt better, and if not, they would die. Oh, that's not true either. Okay, that's right. That's right. Anybody who came to him got healed. He healed all, not some. Everyone that came to the crowd, the Bible says, all were healed. It did not matter what sickness nor what disease. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it talks about the man who had leprosy, and the great question was then posed. Lord, if it be thy will, you can make me whole. That is the question that everybody asks. Is it God's will to heal me? And Jesus answered that question to him in a very clear manner. It is. And Christ healed him, and he was set free. And the question has been answered to all the way through eternity because of the covenant of Christ. Remind you, the covenant covers three main departments in your life. The blood, which means your sins are. The body, which means your body is. And that Christ took on poverty. Poverty is never and has never been the will of God. Anything that you see was brought on by the curse or by the sin of mankind. Christ became a curse for us that we don't have to participate with the curse. Can I hear an amen? So all of that is available. So we covered last week different reasons why people are sick. Overeating, accidents, they were born into sickness, bad habits, improper care of their bodies. Sometimes it is sin, and sometimes it is also demonic possession or demonic oppression. In fact, it's very important that you always make sure that you do not have anybody that practices Reiki lay hands on you. Everybody understand what Reiki is about? Reiki was established as a counterfeit through Buddhism and the releasing of energy. Remember, energy only comes from two departments. It either comes from God the Father or comes from Satan. And this is not of God. In fact, the Bible condemns all uses of that style, that it is not the kingdom of God. Reiki will actually release a demon in your body to cause sickness in your life. You got to be careful who lays hands on you. The Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly. Why is that? Because some people practice witchcraft. Witchcraft require demonic activity. They require demons. And a demon will put sickness on people and try to kill them and destroy them. Now, we also know that some people, even that it's not demonic, but many people die early. Some people are sick. Some people are weak. And the purpose for that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he makes a declaration when we're talking about communion, that some do not discern the Lord's body. They don't understand what Christ's body is for. They don't understand that the body represents healing. The body represents
healing.
No, the body represents
healing.
That's right. So the blood represents. The body represents, you can't separate them. If it's God's will for everybody to be, their sins be forgiven, then you got to believe it's always God's will to be healed. Amen. Amen? So why are some people healed and why are some people not?
What would you say for non-believers who are in a non-Bible believing church who receive communion just as a ritual type thing? I mean,
it's unhealthy for them. You know, communion is something not to be played with. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. The Bible says that we need to guard our hearts. In fact, if you get into 1 Corinthians 11, I don't have time for this because we got to finish. But the process of some actually drink damnation to their own soul. So there's a necessity to recognize that this is not about you and I just drinking a little bit of a little bit of juice and having a little cracker, but what it represents. It is not the physical body. It is not the physical blood of Christ. It is a representation, but everything that's done in Christ must be honored and respected because Christ never did anything for temporary value, only eternal value. Amen? So why are some people not healed? Now, let's talk about what do you mean some people are not healed. Now, we talked about a difference between a healing and a miracle. The healing means process. Miracle means instantaneous. We all want a miracle. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Everybody wants a miracle. But the fact is that most of the time with believers, God will work a healing. Why is that? Because there's a requirement for you and I to believe God's word. We are not called Christians. We are called believers. What are you believing in? What do you believe in?
The word.
The word. So when you believe in the word of God, you activate by faith. Remember, God is not moved by your need. God is not moved by your problems. God is moved by faith. And when you activate faith into God's word, it always releases the supernatural. And so here we are. We're wondering why some people aren't healed, I should say, why they're not getting a miracle. We don't understand why some people get a miracle or some people get healing, but either way, it always ends up in the same result, and that is the completion of God's promise that Christ, by his stripes, you were healed. So whether it's a healing or a miracle, it doesn't matter. I want to remind you that Abraham waited how many years before his miracle? He was an old man. Amen? And his wife was about 90 years old. How would you like to have a baby at 90? Ma? No. That is my real ma. Really is. No, I didn't hear that. She's talking bad. No! Man, she's mean tonight. It's important to recognize that healing is, if it's timetable, a lot of people walk away from the miracle at their very threshold. That a lot of people want the miracle, but because they don't get the miracle, they're taught religiously, and religion will say, well, I guess God didn't have that for you. Or I guess there must be a problem with you. Oh, you'll be healed in heaven, just not here on earth. And I want you to see that that is a lie, because Christ brought forth a miracle, brought forth a healing, even after somebody was dead. It's called raising people from the dead. Now, the Bible says, Luke chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, then Jesus came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And Jesus said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Now, how many of you would lose something in your drawers at that very moment? You know what I mean? Began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. When you're talking, when we are talking not healed, we are saying that they passed on into eternity. Now, listen, Christ can heal you. Somebody said, but you know, Pastor, what if I believe and nothing happens? Well, I'd rather die a believer than die a doubter. You're not going to get anything by doubting. You're not going to get anything by giving up. You got to stand firm in your faith. And it's important that you recognize that God loves to do healing. God loves to do miracles. In that, even after you take your last breath. So don't ever give up. God's promises are yay and amen. Amen?
Amen.
So here's some reasons why people are not healed. Some expect healing as a test of God's power. Now, some people try to say, well, if God is real, show me a miracle. Show me a healing. Prove God to me. Well, listen now. Fact is, God doesn't need to prove himself to anybody. He is God, whether he does one more healing, one more miracle. He sent his son, died on the cross. That's all he has to do. But because he loves us, he created a covenant for us that went beyond just saving you from your sin. He brought the covenant into the process to where you can have a whole body, a whole mind. It's the Bible, actually, the word sozo or salvation means a wholeness that every part of you is healthy. Now, the Bible says that some expect that healing to prove God's power, and that's Luke chapter 23, verse 8. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard of the many things about him and hoped to see a miracle done by him. You see, a lot of people want to see a miracle. Listen, in this house, we see healings and miracles all the time. You know, we have Sister Jody Dykes. Everybody knows Jody Dykes? She didn't just get healed. She got a miracle this year. And it's proven by the doctors. My wife, diagnosed with cancer, we were able to show that down in Mexico, literally show the photographs, show the diagnoses, and then show the repeal. Listen, people say they've never seen a miracle. In this house, we see miracles all the time. We see healing all the time. It's a normal process. Why? Because it's part of the covenant of Christ. Amen? But some people try to say, well, you know what? Prove God to me. Show me a miracle. God doesn't need to do nothing for anybody. You know, the fact is that people who only see healing and miracles and they put their faith in them don't usually make it. Remember, the children of Israel saw a miracle, and that is when the Red Sea opened up. Did they remain serving God? No, they did not. Next thing they did is start immediately complaining. You know, you put your faith in Christ and you grab a hold of the covenant of God. That is your covenant to live in health and wholeness, and that is God's promise for you. But when someone tries to use healing or a miracle as an evidence to get them saved, well, I'll only get saved if I see God do something big. Listen, they might get saved real quick, but they won't hang on to it, and they won't hang on to it because they're not putting faith in Christ. They're putting faith in something they can see. God does not have to do a miracle for the curious or the mockers. Luke chapter 11, verse 29, while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. When people are looking to healing rather than the healer and the word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. John chapter 4, verse 48, and Jesus said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you by no means believe. Some people rely on the armor of the flesh more than they rely upon the word of God and upon the promise of God. Listen, in this church, we don't preach against doctors. In fact, last week when we were teaching this, there was a doctor sitting on the back row. We have doctors that come to this church. We're not against doctors. Anything that stops sickness is good.
Amen.
Amen? But at the same time, the doctor's not your healer.
Amen.
Your medication's not your healer.
Amen.
Only 1% of all medication have any healing element to them at all. All the rest are masks. There's a need. In fact, if you've ever had a chance, which I know you all have, listening to television, and all of a sudden they're posing a new drug for you, and the new drug comes up and it tells you all the good things it does, and then it takes the next 10 minutes and tells you all the things and how it's going to kill you. Oh, by the way, you're probably going to commit suicide. Truthfully, I mean, that's where it's amazing to me. You know, a lot of people put more faith in the drugs than they do in Jesus Christ. A lot of people will obey a doctor. I had somebody say to me not too long ago, I need prayer. And I said, well, I need you to come. I'm teaching on healing at Rock Solid Faith. And they said, well, you know, my child needs to go to bed at a certain time. But I'm really afraid of a report that I'm going to get. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you're not that afraid. Because if the doctor called you and said, I need you at the office tonight at 7 o'clock, you'll be at the office at 7 o'clock. Many times we put more faith in doctors than we do in Christ Jesus, in the covenant that we have with him. And this is something that cannot be pushed on by anybody. This is your personal belief system. Do you actually believe that the word of God is above the situation? Do you actually believe you're a part of the kingdom of God? Yes, you're a dual citizen, but the kingdom's principles are higher than the natural principles. That we walk by faith and not by sight. That if God said it, it is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it all comes to fruition. Do we actually believe that God's word is God's word and that God is not a liar? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, if you seen me, you've seen the Father. Christ sent no one away, therefore you've got to make a decision. Is healing for me, just like the man who was a leper in Matthew chapter 8? Is it me, God? Do you want this for me, God? And when you position yourself in faith, then God will start releasing the miracle. Now, what's awesome in our lives is that the people that rely upon the arm of the flesh, again, nothing wrong with doctors, but they'll put more faith in a doctor who is practicing. Maybe you don't know this, just bring you a great revelation. Every year, over 90,000 people are killed by doctors on accident. More, that's double the amount of people that have died than Vietnam. Every year. Because doctors are practicing. I thank God they're practicing. Doctors do great things. But they're also human. And we put so much faith in human, the arm of the flesh, and we take and extract Jesus Christ. Now, as I was saying last week, in other nations, that is not as much true. T.L. Osborne made the statement, the place I hate preaching the most is in America. Now, he had a great healing ministry. He, at that point in time, before Reinhard Bonnke had preached to more people face-to-face than anybody else on the planet, and miracles and signs and wonders were a normal process. Reinhard Bonnke's preached to over 500,000 people at one time in one field. There's no way to lay hands. He just releases the healing power of Jesus. People are jumping out of wheelchairs. Blind eyes are open. Deaf ears being able to hear. Those who've never walked before are now running. Man, miracles, signs, and wonders that are proven. Dead people raising from the dead. People bring their dead loved ones on stretchers, and there's no hope for them. They're dead. They've been dead for days, yet they'll raise up. It happens in other countries more than America because we have so many things to rely upon besides Jesus in America. Where you put your greatest level of faith, where you go to first, is what you actually believe is your greater design. So if the very first one you call is your doctor rather than Dr. Jesus, that means your faith level is higher with the doctor who has the arm of flesh who's practicing than with Christ. Now, it's nothing wrong going to the doctor, but you should never go to the doctor first. Amen. All two of you, hallelujah. Let's move on. Some people are not healed. Because they rely upon their own flesh. Here we go. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Some people are sick because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is horrific. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. Many of the people that I've seen, I'll give you one example. I knew a pastor's wife who had been in a car accident, and she had a wound from an accident in her back. But yet, when she was taking a pastorate with her husband, man, she was a bitter woman. She literally kept a pamphlet of every time that her and her husband were offended. Every single time. She kept saying, I don't know why I'm not healed. And I looked at her one day and I says, honey, because you got unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart, and that's sin. Sin separates you from God. You better hope you get to heaven. Never mind get healed. I wasn't her favorite anymore after that. I went down in the book. No, really. I know I'm in that book. Honestly, I am in the book. But she's still never been healed. And the reason is because she has unforgiveness in her heart. You got to be careful. Unforgiveness dislocates you from God's promises. A lot of times today we just look at, well, you know, I don't have to forgive them. You have to. You have to forgive. It doesn't mean you have to like them. Doesn't mean you have to make them your best friend. Doesn't mean you put your hand under the mallet again. But you still got to forgive them. Forgiveness is for you. It sets you free. Amen? So some people aren't healed because they touch God's anointed. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do not do my prophets no harm. We find that in Numbers chapter 12, Miriam was struck with leprosy because she talked negative against Moses. This usually happens more in denominational churches than it does in non-denominational churches. Denominational churches, they many times feel they run their pastor, they own their pastor, is their hireling. And therefore, they'll slaughter their preachers and destroy their... Actually, there's a whole book on it. It's called Well-Intentioned Dragons. It is an amazing book. When my new book comes out, I have two or three really cool examples of people touching God's anointed and how they've tried to decimate and destroy. And it always brings back on them. So, you know, touching God's anointed is dangerous. Now, some people use that to an extreme and they become cultish over the factor. But ultimately what it is that you need to honor the gifts that God's given you and do no harm to them. Some people are sick because they have sin in their life. John chapter 5, verse 14, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. That is very powerful. There are people that have been healed, that have had a miracle, that were sinners, that refused to accept Christ as their Savior. And then a worse sickness, a worse disease comes upon their body. Another reason some people are not healed is because of unbelief. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Now, he could do no mighty miracles there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about in the villages into a circuit teaching. Some people are not healed because they do not believe. They just don't believe it's God's will. They don't believe for themselves. They give up. They walk out on faith. And you know, again, I just declare this. I'd rather die in faith than die in unbelief. You got nothing to lose. Well, what if it doesn't happen? But what if it does? But you'll never know. Because with unbelief, you can't activate faith. Faith is the release of the miraculous supernatural power of God. You cannot release the supernatural without faith. Now, some people say to me, well, Pastor, I know a sinner who got healed. I got a miracle. But I want you to see something. You can get a miracle without faith, but you can't keep your miracle without faith. Say it one more time. You can get a miracle or a healing without faith by the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But you can't keep it without faith. Just as sin tempts people with the, you know, so let's just say you were delivered from a certain kind of sin. All of a sudden you get tempted by that sin. That's not abnormal. You've got to know how to stand against sin in the name of Jesus. When a person is healed, that symptom will try to come back on them. A great example I have of this is a woman that I personally met in Stryker, Ohio. Has anybody ever heard of Stryker, Ohio? You have? Wow, that's pretty interesting. It's just there's nothing there. I'm driving through Stryker, and I was to preach at this church. It's a church of 1,000 people. And say the building seats 1,000 people. And I'm driving through Stryker and ain't nothing there. And you turn the corner and there is this monster building. So I get there and I met this couple. And this couple, they were missionaries in Haiti. At that point, they were in their 20s. They had 2 children. And while she was in Haiti, she was diagnosed with leukemia, which is cancer of the bones. And so she had the cancer, and they sent her back to America for treatment, came out to be stage 4. There was no hope for her. She was telling me that the worst part about leukemia is the pain. It is just agonizing. You ever have an ache in one of your bones? She said, it's that times 10. Your bones just ache, and it's painful. And she said, but I knew this, that by his stripes I was healed. And she was taught and trained properly, can I hear an amen? Amen, of the full covenant of Christ. And she hung on to that. And she kept decreeing, not the sickness, but decreeing her miracle. She stayed in faith and she was proclaiming it in the name of Jesus, because the doctors gave up on her. There was no more hope for her. They told her she was just simply going to get her stuff in order and she was going to die. So I believe it was the month of February, she went in for another test. She asked for a test. So they had to do a spinal tap, I think she said, which I guess is extremely painful. And it takes about a month to get all the testing back, or it was at that point in time. She said during the month after that test, the pain, the ache, was more harsh than it had ever been. She said there was excruciating pain. And she said all of a sudden they got the test back. And you know what the test said? No cancer. But she said what was amazing was the pain of that month, the symptoms of the month that she was already healed, the tests were done the month before. The pain of that month was more than all the rest. And she said, I know that if I would have accepted those symptoms of simply saying, well, I guess I haven't been healed, even though the test would have come back negative, she would have had the cancer. Unbelief is the most dangerous thing in any believer. In fact, it is the one disqualifier that will keep you from God's promises in your life. The children of Israel could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Jesus could do no mighty miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief. You'll find time after time, unbelief is the disqualifier. Why? Because unbelief is the opposite of faith. Faith is the activator of the supernatural. Unbelief is the deactivator of the supernatural. So there's a need to keep yourself from unbelief. Some people are just tired and want to go home. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on the in the flesh, this will this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I have, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I have seen where people have fought the good fight of faith, and they just simply got tired. I watched a great man of God who I highly respected, who believed in miracles and signs and wonders. He actually didn't die from cancer. He actually died from the drugs that the doctors gave him for cancer. But I remember him looking at me probably an hour before he passed on as he was trying to lead the nurse to Jesus. He said, "I'm just tired. I'm ready to go home." That was it. That's an hour later, he was gone. Some people just get tired. They're tired of the fight. They don't want to fight no more. And you know, to die is gain. When you know Christ, to die is gain. And off they went. And yeah, I mean, he was a great man of God. So it's important to recognize that some people die, don't get the manifestation of the healing on earth, just simply because they get tired. And that's their choice. I told one family, this one person was hanging on. And I simply said, you know, why don't you go tell them that if they want to go home, they can. They walked in and said, you know, we want you to know we'll fight for you if you want to fight, but if you want to go home, you can go home. And when it was less than a few hours, they had died. Because some, you know, people live because they just refuse to die. So how can you personally get your healing? I would suggest that you read a book called F.F. Bosworth called Christ the Healer. If you have not read that book yet, my question is why? I've been pushing it now for probably 5 or 6 months at least. It's true. Are you in that yet? Well, amen. I want to encourage you need to read that book. Now, why? Well, because your foundation is imperative, amen? We're teaching you about the covenant of God. But as we have said, your faith is theory until tested. Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth. You can get it on Kindle. You can actually get it for free on YouTube. They'll actually read it to you. What a deal. You did? My mother did that? Oh, did I really? Who's going to pay me for that? What? No pizza, brother. This is my money. You've been doing it? All right, you're off. Who else? Who owes me $10? Just be honest. Don't go to hell. If you owe me $10, my PayPal account is pastorspencer@gmail.com. So, I'd encourage you to read that book strongly. Why? Because you're getting the foundation here, the foundation of that it is God's will to heal you. Until you secure that in your own heart and mind, you're not going to get healed. You've got to secure that in your own heart and mind, that it is God's will to heal me. A lot of people say it's God's will to heal somebody else, but is it God's will to heal you? You have to get that in your own spirit. Once that's in your own spirit, then your faith can be activated. Then you're moving forward to what God's promises are, which are yea and amen. Now, why we encourage everyone to read that book, F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer, or listen to it on YouTube for free, is simply because it builds already upon what you have. Because sometimes the good fight of faith, the word fight there is a key. Now, you're not fighting the devil. He's already defeated. So the fight of faith is the thing between your ears. The greatest enemy you have is your own stinking thinking. That's why Corinthians makes the declaration, taking into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against the word of God. Because your flesh fights against the word of God. We know that according to Romans chapter 8, that the flesh is the enemy of God. If you've never read Romans 8, you need to read Romans 8 tonight. Great chapter. It'll show you the enemy between the flesh and the spirit. And the spirit always brings life, and the flesh always brings death. So the first process of your healing or of your miracle is making sure, number one, that you understand that it is God's will for you. Amen. Number two, that you then start feeding your faith, starving your doubts. What you feed the most lives the greatest. Now, again, what that means is all of a sudden you're believing God for a healing or a miracle in your life, and your brain is telling you you're going to die. You're not going to make it. There's no hope for you. Now, again, we just went through this whole process with my wife diagnosed with cancer. And I don't care what anybody else says, it becomes a personal fight. You can get as spiritual as you want, but when it ends up on your doorstep, you find out whether your faith has validity or not. Amen. It is, your faith is theory until tested. But if you have no base for your faith, then when the faith comes, when the trial comes, your faith will disintegrate. Well, how do we know that? Jesus said, if you build your house upon the rock, who's the rock? Who's Jesus? He's the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. If you build your faith upon the word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then what will happen is you're going to start building upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Therefore, when the trial comes, don't consider it a strange thing when the fiery trial comes upon your life, that you recognize that you have a firm foundation to stand on. It's not religion. It's not hope. It's not, boy, it works for, I hope it works for me. It is, I know God's word. I know what God has said. I know what Christ has paid for. It's not my sickness, it's his sickness. And now you start feeding your faith, feeding your faith, feeding your faith. Whatever you feed the most lives the greatest. And that is imperative to get into your spirit. Because if you do not believe that, then what happens is everything the doctor tells you takes precedent over the word of God. Whatever your brain starts telling you takes precedent over the word of God. Whatever your symptoms say take precedent over the word of God. If that woman had believed her symptoms above the declaration of the word of God, she probably would have died of leukemia. If my wife would have believed the declaration of the doctor over the declaration of the word of God, she would be all cut up right now. Literally, all cut up. And that's what he told her. You'll never be the same again. I'm going to cut this. I'm going to cut that. You'll never be normal again. I wanted to punch him right in the face. So what your doctor told you. Are you living?
Went through all the tests, every rabbit trap.
No cancer.
I told him God's word.
That's right. This is where the rubber meets the road. Because whose report will you believe? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. We all have the privilege of believing whatever report we want. You cannot be healed and go to heaven, or you can be healed and live healthy. I like the healthy part because I've never found anything called sickness that wasn't a prison.
Right.
Just have the flu for a few days. Boy, I'm so blessed that the Lord has given me the flu. Boy, I can't wait to go to work with the flu today. I feel so horrible. I'm excited. No, you take every drug. You take as much bed as you can. You have a bedpan and a garbage can. Because no one even finds the flu to be anything less than jail. All sickness is a prison. It is bondage. Christ did not save you from bondage to put you back in bondage.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
So that's why he paid for and bore, remember, Isaiah chapter 53, 4 through 6. He bore our sicknesses, both physical and emotional. And he bore our pain. What's the word bore mean? He took it upon himself. It is not your sin. He took it upon himself. It is not your sickness or disease. He took it upon himself. He paid the price. He's gone to court. He was convicted for your sins and your sicknesses, and he took the penalty so that you and I don't have to. That's a really good Messiah. Can I hear an amen? So what you need to do, number one, is you got to believe. You don't have to have a lot of faith. A lot of people say, oh my goodness, you got to have so much faith. No, the Bible says you got to have just a mustard seed of faith. You don't need a lot. You just got to have some. And then you got to feed it. Now, we know that all people have been given a measure of faith. So some people say, well, I don't have faith. Well, that's not true. Everybody has a measure of faith. Listen, you're proving to me you have faith tonight. Let me prove it to you. Yeah, how many of you are sitting on a chair? How many of you, when you sat on it, you said, I hope it works? How many of you drove in a car tonight? You did, and you were on the passenger side. Watch this. How many of you, when somebody was passing on the other side, said, I hope they stay on their own? You just have faith they will. Every one of us exercise faith every single day. You and I have been given all a measure of faith. But we've got to grow our faith. Faith can be matured. Faith can be measured. How do we know faith can be measured? Because Jesus said to some, O ye of little faith. He said to others, O ye of great faith. And the disciples said, increase our faith. So we know that faith can be measured. What is faith? Faith is trust. Trusting that what God said is true, and that the covenant is for you. So when you start declaring faith, the Bible says the next thing you need to do is call the elders of the church. Here's American people. They're just so cute. Pastor, I can't come to church today because I don't feel good. Well, that's not what the Bible says to do. The Bible says come to church and call the elders of the faith. The elders will come, lay hands on you, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Whoops. Blew that one, huh? Somebody said, well, Pastor, I don't want to contaminate anybody. I said, well, don't worry about it. I'm not going to get contaminated. Come up here. I'll lay hands on you. If Jesus can touch a leprous man and not get leprosy, then I can touch you and not get the flu. Amen? Amen. It was a great man of God. I always forget this poor guy's name. He was in ministry in Africa. Somebody help me now. I always confuse T.L. Osborne with this guy. Well, anyways, he was in Africa, and he was ministering in yes. Thank you so much. I love you so much. John G. Lake. John G. Lake was in Africa during the bubonic plague. And he was going around in all the villages and going in and raising people up. They were getting healed, laying hands on them, getting around them. Everybody else is running because the bubonic plague is so contagious that anybody gets around it, it's airborne, you'll die. And they couldn't understand why he wasn't dead. And he said, because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And of course, you know, yeah, whatever. So they proved it. They put his hand under a microscope, put some bubonic plague on his hand, and through the microscope, watched it dry up and die. See, Americans, we're just amazing, aren't we? There was a woman in China. For those who don't know, China is a closed country to the gospel. There are many preachers in prison for this. The underground church is enormous. Whenever you drive or try to persecute the church, it always grows. You'd figure the devil would have figured that out and just made it like Constantine. And Constantine made it the national religion in Rome, and therefore it became contaminated. But when it went underground, it always became pure. So this woman got the gospel, she got saved, and she read the Bible. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, freely as you have received, freely give. Raise the dead, cast out devils. Oh, raise the dead. So she started going to villages, walking into a village and saying, where's your morgue? They point out the morgue, she'd walk in, she'd come out with two or three people. She went to the next village. Where's your morgue? Come out with two or three people. Until a good old preacher walked up and says, God don't do that no more. And she stopped. The word is our life. Amen. Not the preacher, not the church. And the Bible says in James chapter 5, 14 and 15, if anyone is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. How simple is that? So if you're not feeling good, don't stay home. Come to church. Get a hold of Pastor Dan and say, we'll see where his faith level is. All right, man. All right. You will need to pray in faith, trust in his word, in his covenant promise. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, James 5, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that Jesus became a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. We know that in the Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God said, I am the God that healeth thee. He declared his nature, his personality, Jehovah Rapha. If that was the old covenant, and the Bible says in Psalms 105 that they left Egypt and there was not one sick among the tribe, that over 2.5 million people left Egypt completely healthy because not the blood that they put over stopped the death of the firstborn, but they ate the body of the lamb. The blood represents, 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 the blood represents forgiveness, the blood represents. The body represents. Very good. Then you need to receive. Everybody say receive. Receive. A lot of people perceive but never receive. This is your promise. If I have something for you, I don't know, do I have any money? No. Nope. I was going to give money away if I had any. Somebody owes me $10. So if I walked over and I said, here's $10, I can hold that $10 for 20 years until somebody comes up and receives it. It's not theirs. If I offered you $100, listen, if I offered you $1 million to come to church, you'd be here. That's the truth. You come to receive it. Amen. I would too. $10, you can't have that $10 until you take it. You cannot activate your faith unless you receive it. You must receive it. What you receive is activated. That's why if you receive what the doctor's diagnosis is over you, God never told us to deny the facts. He told us to declare the truth. If you lay hold of and say, well, I guess I have cancer, then that's exactly what you got. But the last I realized is that he bore that sickness for you. That means it's not yours. Give it back. Somebody says to me, well, I've got diabetes. Well, I'm glad you got it. Well, I've got the diabetes. Yes, you do. It's all yours. But by his stripes, you were healed. He's not telling you to deny. Listen, somebody says, well, I'm not sick, and they got snot running down their face. You know? Oh, you've never done that? It's warm, salty. Snot running down your face. I'm not sick. Well, you're a liar. You're saying you're not sick. You're lying. But what you declare is the truth above the facts. I'm dealing with sickness, but by his stripes I am healed. Your last declaration is the aim of your life. Yes. Amen? Amen? You read the word on healing. Guard yourself against slipping in, against doubt slipping in. Speak and allow only allow those to speak in your life who had faith. When Rhonda was diagnosed with cancer, the one thing we made a decision on is we weren't telling anybody. We told our kids, and that was it. Because we didn't need anybody walking up. And you know what? People still do this. Are you still okay? Rhonda said, I just want to punch him in the head. Are you still okay? It's like you ever gone to a funeral and somebody says, I'm so sorry, the Lord needed an angel. Pow! Shut up. Well, they're better off now. Pow! Shut up. People are nice, but they're dumb. You know, and you don't need anybody going up, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I hope you feel better. Shut up. If you're not going to be in faith, then I don't need your help. And so you've got to guard yourself against people. When you're dealing with believing God for a miracle, you have got to protect who you allow to speak into your life. You've got to. Because you don't need sympathy, you need empathy. And the empathy that they can give is faith. You need them to agree in faith with you. Where two touch one thing, it shall be done. Not where, well, I'm sorry, I hope it works for you. There was a woman that we had, I'm almost done. There was a woman we had coming to the church. She was always sick, not a little sick, always sick. She got shingles every year, every year. Not just shingles, but shingles down her throat. She loved Jesus. She really did. She loved the Lord. But she grew up in a church that taught her that God put sickness on people to teach them spiritual things. Well, she got here, and she came to me, and she says, well, I don't feel good. I said, well, I'm not going to pray for you. And she says, that's just mean. And I said, no, it's not mean. I said, it's not going to help you if I just pray for you. You need to be taught first. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You need to know why and what's going to happen when I pray for you. Not just, you know, I'm not looking for something magical up my sleeve, because you can be, you get your miracle right now, but if you don't have enough faith to keep your miracle, the devil will bring it back on your life and you'll receive it again. So we started teaching her and training her, and guess what happened? That woman, I never prayed for her. That woman got a hold of the Word of God, got a hold of, it's T.L. Osborne's Heal the Sick, same book, really. Yeah, it's a good one. Same, it's really the same book. And she got healed in her own house. She got healed, no longer had shingles again. She got healed of cancer years later, breast cancer. I mean, literally, she never took chemotherapy. They never did an operation. Diagnosed, they did biopsies, everything proved to be cancer, and she laid hold of the same promises and walked away with no cancer in her body. Amen. She's still living today, doing great in Elmira.
Amen. So if Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, them rolling back the stone, was there a sign of faith? And, I mean,
well, they didn't roll back the stone. The men that, they were the stone rollers. No one even knew who they were. They simply obeyed Christ. Obedience is always honor. Honor always opens access.
Lazarus coming back from paradise as a believer, or I just thought I'd mention.
Yeah, I don't want to presume. So the scripture is simple. Jesus said, "Roll back." This is the only time he came close to praying for a sick person. Father, that they may know we are one. Roll back the stone. Rolled back the stone, Lazarus. Now watch, when he spoke, the words didn't go in the natural. The words went to where his spirit was, grabbed him, pulled it back, put it back in the body. The boy hops out, and Jesus says, now untie him, loose him. So all of the process is simple. And that is, you've got to have people around you that are going to believe. Remember when Jesus was going to go pray for the little girl who was dead? Jairus' daughter. When Jesus went in to pray, what did he do? Now, many people don't realize this. They had in those days what was called professional mourners. Can you imagine having that job? Hey, man, we're going to make $25. Let's go cry. No, really, that was their job. They would go in and they'd wail. Oh, the little girl. What was her name? Oh, yeah. Ah! That was their job. Professional wailers. So Jesus, when he got to where the girl was dead, Jairus' daughter, she was dead, he walked in, but he didn't just walk in. He kicked out all of the professional mourners. Watch now. He kicked out all the disciples but Peter, James, and John. He went in with mom and dad, Peter, James, and John, and not even all the disciples. Raised the girl from the dead. Why? Because when you're dealing with getting a miracle, getting healing in your life, you don't need anybody around you, even other Christians who don't have the faith that will stand with you. That was, oh, Jesus. You got to speak the word. Speak it. Not just get it in you, but declare it. Remember, words are seed. Seed bring forth harvest. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the more you speak the word, the more you yourself actually believe the word. You start declaring, decreeing. You start proclaiming the word of God over your life. No matter what the symptoms, no matter what the doctors say, thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes I am healed. I thank you, God, that no matter what I feel, it does not matter. I bring into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up to God, and I declare the word of God. And you start speaking the word over your life. And then you stand firm, unmovable in faith. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Everybody shout, fully?
Fully.
Fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And you see, these are the processes that you got to hang on to. Now, my wife just preached a message in Mexico on Sunday night. It is on Facebook, on our Facebook. She preached the message of her healing, her miracle. And so I would encourage you, if you're struggling with sickness and need faith, I would encourage you to watch it, because your faith level cannot do anything but grow when you're hearing the word of God. Now you'll hear an interpreter. She's preaching in every other, I think it's like every sentence, the interpreter does their thing, but it's a great experience. Yeah, it was really fun. And so I'd encourage you to get a hold of that message. And we also have it available. We're going to be putting together a packet. It's called Truth versus Facts, or Facts, Truth Trumps Facts is what it's going to be named. And it's 5 weeks long, and it's the sermons that we were preaching about miracles while we were going through the process of her getting her miracle. Amen. Yeah, honestly, when those five messages were not theory, those five messages were literal living. So they'll be available out in the foyer. I know they've ordered the packets and stuff. So when they get there, they'll be available for you. Anybody have any questions? Okay.